Today's shiur is Masechta Chulin Daf Dalad. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. In our previous shiur, the Gemara had discussed quite extensively the halacha of a kuti dun shchita, if and when we could accept that shchita. Begins the shiur Tana Rabbanan. The Braisa teaches a shchutis kuti. A kuti does a shchita b'teres. We could even them lechatchila, but says the Gemara Medvar Mamurim, when was that said? Kishe Yisrael Aymer Al Gabav, when there's a Jew supervising and watching what's happening. Avo bo matzah shachat, if you come and you find that the meat has already been slaughtered, bo matzah shachat, chay to kazayis v'naisan loy. We could cut off a kazayis meat and give it to him to eat. Achloi, if he eats that meat, mutter, then it's permissible. Mutter lechem shchitasai. For as we explained extensively in our previous shiur, the kutim, according to this version, were Gary Emes, were honest, were real Jews. And since they were real Jews, we could be confident that they're only going to eat kosher meat. They weren't careful necessarily not to serve non-kosher meat, but they only ate kosher meat. And since they only ate kosher meat, the fact that they ate it, it's a proof that it's kosher. But if he refuses to eat from that meat, then also lechem shchita soy, we may not eat from shchita. We have to be concerned it's not kosher. Kiyotzeba, says the Gemara, we have a similar halacha. Matzah b'yada, if we find in the hand of a kuti, the kurya shel tzeporim, a bundle of birds, and here too there's a concern: was it slaughtered properly or not? The halacha is kaita rosh shalachem mevenaisen loy. We could give him we cut off one head of one of the birds and give it to him. Kaita rosh shalachem mevenaisen loy. Achloi, if the kuti ate it, muta lachel b'shchutasai. Then we'll be allowed to eat from that shchita. It's a proof that it's kosher, from lav, but if he refuses to eat, so he may not eat from it. We need to be concerned that it's not kosher. And again, as all as Chasam Sofer and Kivega point out, they had to have eaten a kazayis, because if they didn't eat a kazayis, then we don't have any indication that the bird is kosher, because they only are careful. They're only careful about a kazayis. The Tferes Yaakov says that what is the Braisa teaching us? It's really what we've been learning throughout, that if the kuti is eating, it's a proof that it's kosher. What is the second part of the Braisa coming to teach us? So the Tferes Yaakov explains that if we would have just had the beginning of the Braisa, we would have thought that l'chatchila we shouldn't rely on the kuti shchita, and because only b'di'eved, where he already shechted, can we do this? Teaches us that the braisa, that we could rely on the kutim, could rely on the kutim eating it without any question. Again, as I said, opinion of some sofer of Kivega is that you have to give him a kazayis, or maybe here, if you give him a whole barrier, then maybe that would be acceptable as well. Says the Gemara, we've had in the previous year, a machloikus abai and rava, how to understand what is the halacha by kuti. Tells us the Gemara that each of these amoraim based their opinion on this price. Abai daik mereisha. Abaye bases his opinion on how he learns the ratio of the Braisa, and Rava Daik Misefa. Abaye Daik Mereisha, the Braisa says that you have Yisrael Oymer Agabav. That's how the Braisa began. So from here we learn, Tam Yisrael Oymer Agabav, because the Jew supervising. Avol Yoytzev Nechnas, just coming and going and seeing what's doing, Loy would be insufficient. Because that's Abaye's opinion, that you have to have proper supervision. On the other hand, says the Gemara Rava, that Daik Misefa, Tama, that what is the issue in the Sefer, because as we just explained, the Ba'al Matzah Shachet, the meat has already been slaughtered. And now, we didn't have any supervision on the Shechit at all. Seemingly, if there would be even some supervision, Av Yotze V'Nechnas, if there would be Yotze V'Nechnas, then the Halacha would be Shapadami, that would be sufficient. Ask the Gemara, Ula Abaye, according to the opinion of Abaye that says that Yotze V'Nechnas is not good enough, ask the Gemara Kasha Sefer, the Sefer, as we just finished explaining, the Sefer clearly indicates that Yotze V'Nechnas is enough. Amalei says, Abaye Yotze V'Nechnas Namibar Motze Karolei. When the Brisa said that Bar Motze Sheshachat, what it meant was that even if there was a case of Yotze V'Nechnas, since the Jew was not there throughout the entire Shechita, that's why it's going to be considered like a B'di'eved situation. And since it's considered B'di'eved situation, that's why you have to give the Kuti Kazayis to see if he'll eat. Ask the Gemara L'Rava, the Reish, it said, and this was the basis for Rabbi's opinion, which said that he was Oymen al Gabov, Kash Reisha. So according to Rava, Yotze V'Nechnas is sufficient. And the Reish, it says, you need to be Oymen al Gabov, answers the Gemara Amaloch. The way Rava is going to explain that he, Yotze V'Nechnas, according to Rava, that if we have a situation of Yotze V'Nechnas, it's equivalent to Oymen al Gabov, as if the Jew was there an entire time. And explains the Rashash why. Because the Rashash says that the reasoning why Oymen al Gabov is sufficient, explains the Rashash, because that makes that the Kuti will be scared to do something wrong. So in other words, he says, even when you have a situation of Oymen al Gabov, it doesn't mean that the Jew is there entire, the Jew is watching. Just the Jew's presence is enough. And therefore, says Rava, if all we're looking for is for the Jew's presence, so then Oymel Yotze V'Nechnas accomplishes the same. So the question is, if Rava is saying that Yotze V'Nechnas and Oymel Gavav are equivalent, so why didn't the Brisa, accordingly, tell us the bigger Chiddush? That even if you have a situation of Yotze V'Nechnas, it's going to be satisfactory, says the Gemara. I saw the Sefer Paris Yosef asked this question, and he gave a number of reasons. One explanation is that what the Gemara is in line with what we just learned from the Rishash. What is the Gemara trying to teach us? What the Gemara is trying to teach us is that what we need to have here is a situation of a deterrent, that the Kuti is scared to do something wrong. And in that way, even if it's Oymen al Gabov, if it's not a deterrent, it wouldn't help. And if it is, Yotze V'Nechnas will help. And that's what the Brisa is trying to teach us. Another explanation he gives is that, yes, according to Rava, under normal circumstances, Oymen al Gabov and Yotze V'Nechnas are equivalent. But sometimes you'll have a Kuti who needs Oymen al Gabov. Only because you'll have Oymen al Gabov will that serve as a proper deterrent. If it'll be Yotze V'Nechnas, it won't be sufficient of a deterrent. That's why the Brisa says that you have Oymen al Gabov, because sometimes that's the only thing even Rava would agree would work. We learned the Brisa continued, Ki Yotzeba, Matz B'yodah D'Kurish HaSeparim, we find the Kutim holding a bunch of birds, Kaitei Reisha, we cut off the head, and if we see he eats it, it's a proof that it's kosher. But Amai, why would that work? Ask the Gemara, Lechish Dama Haidu have a Shachet Shapir. This is the bird that was slaughtered properly, and that's why the Kuti has no problem eating it. But the other birds were not slaughtered properly, and therefore the fact that the Kuti ate from this bird shouldn't prove anything regarding the other birds. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Menashe Simen Machnas Izma B'Zacharim B'Machnas Tachas Kanafav. We're speaking about a case where the Kuti has all the birds under his, where the Yisrael has all the birds under his garment, and he's taking out one bird, and the Kuti doesn't know which is the bird that he took out. ask the Gemara, why is that going to work? Maybe the Kuti had a simon to know which is the bird that was slaughtered properly. Answers the Gemara, Amra Mesharsha, the Mismasim Slay Sumuche. The Yisrael crushed all the bird heads of the birds. So if there was a simon, that simon is no longer there. So the Rosh Hashanah asked the question that maybe some of the birds are kosher and some of the birds are not kosher, and the Kuti is relying on Roiv. And even though not necessarily all the birds are kosher, by him, if most of them are good enough, we can rely on that. Says the Rosh Hashanah that a Kuti is going to be careful to eat only what's kosher and not rely on bittel, not rely on bittel l'chatchila. Because he goes into a longer discussion that there are different types of suffix. In a case where we know, where the Kuti is aware that there's a non-kosher bird there, even though most of the birds are kosher, the Kuti will not rely on bittel b'roiv to say that it's that I could eat the birds based on that. Says the Gemara, v'dilma kasavi kuti en shchita leif min ha-tayra. Maybe the Kutim are of the opinion that the halacha of shchita is only by animals, because the Torah says, v'zavachta mi b'karcho mi b'tzayncha, and from there I learn that animals have to have shchita. How do we know? Maybe the Kutim are not familiar, maybe the Kutim aren't concerned about birds, says the Gemara. If that's your opinion, well, tamech, as we're going to learn over and over, the fundamental halachas of shchita are shia, that we're not allowed to pause during, the shchita. Drusa, the shchita has to be done with a halacha v'hayvah. Chalada is that the knife has to be on top of the simanim, not below the simanim. Hagrama, that has to be slaughtered in the proper place in the neck of the animal. Ikar, that you didn't cut the simanim, you disconnected them. All these halachas, miksivim, they're not written explicitly in the Torah. So why should we not be concerned that the Kuti is not following these rules? What's the answer? If we're in a situation where we're relying that the Kutim are doing shchita, and they're doing shchita as we understand shchita should be done, and we don't start, if that's the assumption, we assume he does it right. Hakanami, once we see that the shchutim only eat birds that were slaughtered, we have no reason to be concerned that maybe they're not concerned and they don't feel birds need shchutim. Says the Gemara, v'achzik v'loy achzik, and this question about something which is not written explicitly in the Torah, is it something that we should be concerned that they do follow or don't follow? V'achzik v'loy achzik, but like sivi, something that's not written in the Torah explicitly, this question, should we be concerned if they follow it or not? Tanaihi is actually machloikus tanoim. The Tanya the Brisa says, matzas kuti. If matzah was baked by a kuti without a Jew supervising, materis. We don't have to be concerned that it was chametz. The Tanya, v'adam yotz b'yidei chavas b'pesach, and it could be used for Pesach. Rabbi Elazar Omer, the fish and became a deduke mitzvah of Yisrael. Rabbi Elazar says that they don't know all the halachas, how to make sure that the matzah doesn't become chametz. Shim Gamliel Omer, chametz is shechzik by kutim. Any mitzvah that the kutim follow, habri medagdikin by Yisrael. They even keep it more scrupulously than we do. Of course, the Rishonim ask, how can we eat the matzah's kuti? The loch is that's past palter. And the halacha is that we're not allowed to eat pas of a kuti. So the Tosfos asks, that should be a problem here. And as sometimes the Gemara suggests, that, well, this rule wasn't always in place. So Tosfos says, from the beginning, the pass of the Kutim was Asur. So we're having a discussion here. Do they know Hilchus Matzah or not? But we're not allowed to have pass Kuti. So Rabbeinu Tam answers that we're speaking about that the dough of a Jew, the dough was prepared by the Jew, and then the Kuti baked that dough into matzah. And Tosfos says that the halacha, that pas kuti is osur, is only if the kuti prepares it in his own home. But if he didn't prepare it in his own home, then the halacha is that then it's no problem with pas kuti. So Gemara goes back to this brisa. Amamar, we just discussed, the brisa taught us pas kuti muteres, the matzah of kuti muteres, the matzah of a kuti is mutter, v'adam yotzbe dechavos bepesach, and we could eat that matzah even on Pesach. Estimar Pshita. Of course, since it's full-fledged matzah, and we see that it's matzah, why should there be any concern? Answers the Gemara. Ma'adotema, we might have been concerned. Like Bikiba Shimer, they don't know how to do the matzah properly. And therefore, Kamash Malan, that's why the Gemara says that we don't have to be concerned, and the halacha is that we could eat the matzah. So the question, of course, is, what was the question, and was the teretz? If we know the kutim follow, they follow. And if they don't follow the rules, so then we shouldn't be able to eat the matzah. So the Sefer Nachlas Tovid explains that there are certain elements of baking matzah that they know, but they don't know all of the details. And the Kamara's question is, how do we know that they are familiar with all of the details of matzah? And the Kamara says that not only can we be confident that they know how to make matzah, but they know all the details, says the Gemara, and that's Rebbe Lezer's opinion. Rebbe Lezer says we may not eat this matzah. L'fisha em b'kim b'dukdukei mitzvahs. They're not so careful knowing all the details. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, Kesava, Rebbe Lezer's opinion is, Lebekiyah b'shimur. They don't know all the details that the halacha teaches us about how to make sure the matzah doesn't become chametz. Shim Gamli Loimer, says the Gemara, chametz asher zika by kutim, any mitzvah that the kutim follow, harbe medayit gemar yosim Yisrael. They're very careful. Ask the Marhana Tanakam, so isn't what he's saying identical to what the Tanakhama said? Answers the Gemara, Ika benai de ksiva, if there's something that's written in the Torah, v'loi achziku, but we don't know that they follow those halachas. Tanakhama sover, kiven de ksiva, once it's a mitzvah that's written and in the Torah, so then the halach is, avgav de loi achziku, even if it's not something that we know for a fact they follow, the halach is, we could be confident. And Rav Shimon Gamliel suffer, whereas the opinion of Shimon Gamliel is, I achsuk, just because it's written in the Torah, doesn't mean that they are going to follow it properly. Only I achsuk in, lai achsuk lai. And the Chasam Sofer says a very interesting pshat in this Gemara. He says, a Yisrael, who are have a Yetzirah, who tries to prevent them from doing mitzvahs. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, the way to understand this Gemara is that we Klal Yisrael have a Yetzirah. And the Yetzirah that we have sometimes is successful in preventing us from doing mitzvahs properly. Whereas the Kutim don't have that Yetzirah. And if it says it in the Torah, they follow it, they could do it even better than us because they don't have the Yetzirah preventing them from doing what's right. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi, if that's the machloikis, and the Tanya of Shimon Gamliel says we have to have achzuk, so then the wording of Rav Shimon Gamliel is sort of difficult. The myth, he said, "Kamachzuk shezik by kutim." What it means to say is that it seems that Rav Shimon Gamliel is being more lenient than the Tanya Kama. Tanya Kama says only under certain circumstances can we rely on the kutim, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says that we can. It should have, but the way he should have, the wording should have been, if we see that they're careful, good. If not, not. So therefore, because of this question, Elik Benai the Loik Siva, if there's a mitzvah which is not written explicitly in the Torah, however, we know they follow it. Tanakam Mesover, the opinion of the Tanakam is, Kivan the Loik Siva, since this mitzvah is not written explicitly in the Torah, so therefore, Afagach the Zikaba, even though we know that they follow this halacha, that doesn't make a difference. We can't rely on them. Because if it doesn't have the strength of being written in the Torah, the Kutim will ignore it. Rav Shimon Gamliel suffer, whereas the opinion of Shimon Gamliel is, Kivan Da'achzuk, Achzuk, the only thing that we should look for is if it's written in the Torah, if they follow it. And once we know they follow it, whether it's written in the Torah or not, is immaterial. Says the Gemara Gufa, we discussed in our previous shir the halacha of a mumer. So says the Gemara Gufa, Amar Rav Yisrael mumer, oichel nevelas l'teyavin, if you have Yisrael who eats nevelas l'teyavin, and he did a shechita, so the Gemara's question is, can we or can we not rely on his shechita? So the halacha was by the sack of a nice lie. We check the knife before he uses it, before he shechs with it, and if we see that the knife is good, mutalachel b'shvichtasai. Says the Gemara, my tama. What is the reasoning for Rava's opinion? Says the Gemara, kim deka tervis sura. See, he has the ability to do the shechita properly. He has a good knife, so we could assume b'shavik atervachel sura. That there's no reason to assume that he's going to do it improperly if he has every ability to do it properly. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, so why do we have to specifically make sure that the knife he's using is a good knife? Even if we didn't check the knife, why should we not be confident that he did it right? Says the Gemara, there's a new consideration. Mitrach loy tarach. Yes, all things being equal, he's going to not do something wrong. But if it takes any effort, that's already something that we can't be comfortable about. And since here there's to make the knife properly is already something that is not so simple, and therefore we can't rely on him. The Chasam Sofer quotes the Gemara Masechta Kedushin Daf Mem that says Kol Avera Oiv Avera Vishanaba Hotrola. Somebody does an Avera and repeats doing the Avera, Hotrola becomes Mutter. And asks the Gemara Hotra Salkadatech, Avera doesn't become Mutter because he did it. Says the Gemara Nasla Kaheter. Says the Gemara. Says the Chasam Sofer, that's Pshat in that Gemara. Once a person, the pshat in that Gemara Masechta Kedushin is directly related to our Gemara. Once a person becomes lax in his observance, so his attitude is the mitrach loy tarach. He doesn't want to be matrich himself. He doesn't want to bother. And once we're in a place that he doesn't want to bother, that's why we can't. That's why he can't be. We can't be confident that he's doing the mitzvahs. The Sefer Chashuki Chemed has an interesting discussion. He says there's somebody who's irreligious and owns a restaurant. And one of the things that he's not careful about is that in Sukkos that he's not careful only to eat in a sukkah. And this person, as we just said, owns a restaurant. And the question that we're addressing, says the Chashuki Chemed, he built a sukkah for his restaurant. He didn't have anybody supervising the building of the sukkah. And the question that now comes up, he says he did it correctly. And now the question is, can we rely that he did it correctly? Or can we say that, or do we need to be concerned that he didn't do it? Says the Gemara, so says the Chashuki Chemed, this person that is not careful about Hilchas Sukkah, and our Gemara added a new consideration, and that's the consideration that this person is Mitruch Leitaruch. He always wants, because Halacha is not that important to him, he wants the easy way out, so we have to be concerned that this person did not do what was required to do to make the sukkah properly, and we can't eat in that sukkah. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rabbanan LaRov, Tanya Dem Sailach, I can back up your opinion. The Brisa says, Chemtson Shel Oivrei Aveira, the chametz of a person who's not careful about eating chametz on Pesach, what about Achra Pesach? We know the halacha is that chametz shovel of a Pesach, chametz that was owned by a Jew over Pesach, we may not eat after Pesach. Says the Gemara, Mutub Niyad. Even though there isn't enough time for the Jew to bake new chametz, we still don't have to be concerned that it's chametz shovel of a Pesach. The reason being, Neshe Machlifin, what they do after Pesach is they take their chametz and they switch it with the goy's chametz, and the goy's chametz is obviously not, there's no issue of chametz shovel of a Pesach with the goy's chametz. So says the Gemara, so Savrua, the people who want to bring a raya to Rava from this Brisa, the Hamani, who's the Tanakama, who's the Tan of this Brisa, it follows the opinion of Yehuda, Domas chametz after Pesach, the chametz after Pesach is also a deraisa, and we see from here that we could eat this mumas chametz because we could assume Nesha Machlifin, they're going to switch it with the Nachri's chametz. Alma, so what do we see from here? That if a person even is not so careful in his observance, we leshavika teir v'achal yisura, and therefore we could rely on the shechita of the kuti, of the mumer, because why would he not do the shechita properly if he could do it properly? So, says the Gemara, that isn't a compelling proof. Mamai, maybe we'll suggest that this Braisa is following the opinion of Shimonhi, that the entire Chametz after Pesach is only Midrabanan, and since it's only Midrabanan, therefore, we could take a more lenient, that's why we take a more lenient approach. V'chim ha'klinan, and when are we lenient? But Rabbanan, when the entire issue is only Nisa Rabbanan. But Midaraisa, if it's a Nisa Daraisa, like the issue that we're discussing in our Shurim, Shchita Loma Klinan. Ask the Gemara, V'tavi Nam Reb Shimon. Even if we'll say that this Braisa about the Chametz after Pesach follows the opinion of Reb Shimon, Miktani Shani Oime Chlifu, that with the, let's learn the words of the Braisa. The Braisa didn't say that maybe, or there's a possibility that the kuti switched with the nakri. And since there's a possibility that the kuti switched with the nakri, that's enough of a reason to be lenient. The Braisa said, the Braisa, they certainly switch and serve the chametz, that's not a problem. The Vade Machlifin, they do whatever they can to avoid eating an isser, or doing it, or serving, or doing something wrong. And now the Gemara says, not only is this Braisa not a question anymore, or it's a great raya, because if by Chametz Shavuot of a Pesach, which certainly according to Rav Shimon, is only in Issa Drabonon, we see that the Kuti goes out of his way, the Leishavik HaTeir of Ochel Yisura, he'll do whatever he can to make that it should be Mutter. So when we speak about a Daraisa, Shechita, Leikoshkein, certainly that's a situation that we could rely on a kuti. So the question is, the Braisa began that it's mutter miyad. What's pshat in the miyad? So Rashi explained, that's the way we learned. Enough, even there wasn't enough time for kuti to make new bread after Pesach. Tosfos disagrees. And Tosfos says that if we're buying real chametz from the Kuti so fast after Pesach that there wasn't enough time to bake new bread, he wouldn't be lenient. You have to have enough time to bake bread. And therefore, the Gemara's leniency is well understood. Because, number one, the mumer might have baked new bread, and the new bread doesn't carry with it a iser of chametz she'avel of a Pesach. And even if he didn't bake new bread, we could be assume that he switched it with a nachri's bread. But now, as Tosfos, that the Gemara is saying the reason we could eat this bread is because we could assume that he switched this bread with a nachri's bread. But how are we allowed to eat the nachri's bread? Isn't it pas nachri? So one Teretz Tosfos says that when the Gemara said mutter, it doesn't mean that you're allowed to eat the bread, because the bread may be pas nachri. What it means is that it's mutter b'hano, that even if you're not allowed to eat pas nachri, you're allowed to have hano from it. Rabbi Tam answers a different Teretz. He says that we're not speaking about a baked bread. We're only speaking about dough. And since that it's dough, that by dough there's no problem of chametz shavalov ha-Pesach. There are other opinions that take a very interesting approach and say that even though pas nachri l'chatchila should be machmer, when it's a situation of after Pesach and there's no other bread available, then maybe there's room for leniency. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta wrote a letter, says that while we see in our Gemara that the mumer who is a person as who we're learning is actually not observant. But even though he's not observant, he goes out of his way to try not to eat something or serve something that is not kosher, is machlof with the nachri. He says, this is a tremendous lesson for us, that we who are Baruch Hashem, not mumrim, how much we have to be careful to make sure that we always do what's right and not anyway do something that is not halakhically permissible. Says the Gemara, another raya suggests the Gemara to the opinion of Rava. Lema Mesaile. The Brisa says, Hakol shochtim, everybody could do shchita v'afil kuti v'afil oral v'afil yisra mumar. All these individuals are kosher to do shchita. And ask the Gemara, hi Errol, hi Chadami, who is the Errol? Ilema, if we're speaking about an individual, Shemes Mach Echos Mas Mila, that his brothers passed away during the Mila, so, and that's why he didn't have a bris, then the aloch is, hi Yisrael Ma'al Yehu, he's a full-fledged Jew. In other words, since there's a history in that family of hemophiliacs that don't survive the bris, so he shouldn't have a bris. Because Rashi and Ritva both point out, he's an onus because of this disease, an onus rachmana patre. And Tosfos points out that this heter that was saying that he's an onus because of the family history, we have to examine. That is, we have to see when the bris took place. Maybe if they had the bris when they were babies, and therefore their circulation hasn't worked. But he, who now is an adult, does not have a heter not to have a bris. There are others that take a different approach and say, because there's a question, and we have to always be concerned, so the halacha is that we don't make a bris for this person unless we could be 1,000% comfortable that he's not in danger. So again, if this person didn't have a bris, as we just discussed, because there's a concern or danger, so Hai Yisrael Ma'al Yehu, he's a full-fledged Jew. Why would we need a special limud to say that he's allowed to be a shaychet? Ela pshita, namumah merelis. We're talking about an individual who did not do, did not, refuses to do the bris milah. And says the Gemara, kasover, because obviously the opinion of this Tana is, the mumal dava achad, even though he's not doing the mitzvah of milah, halay have a mumal chal tarakula, doesn't make him be considered a full-fledged mumar. But ask the Gemara, Amos Sefer, let's continue learning that Bryce of Alfil Yisrael Mumar, that the halacha is that a Yisrael Mumar could be a Shoichet. And now let's understand who's the Bryce is speaking about. Hi Mumar Hechadami, who's the Mumar that the Bryce is speaking about? Imaim L'Dover Echad, that he doesn't accept one mitzvah. So we already spoke about this individual in this Bryce, because that's the Mumar Laralus that didn't do the mitzvah Mila. Elalaf, who must we be speaking about? Mumalai Sadavar, that he doesn't believe in Shechita, and even though he doesn't believe in Shechita, he's not careful only to eat kosher meat, as long as we discussed in our previous year, he's only a Mumalate oven, it's not Lahachis, Ukudarava, and Rav is teaching us that even an imperson, and the Bryce is teaching us, as Rav has been teaching us, that somebody who's a Mumalate oven, Shechita Sekshera, says Maloi. Somebody who's a mumma to this very subject cannot be trusted. Why? My tama. Why do we have to take this strict approach? Kiven the doshbei, since this person doesn't pay attention to this mitzvah, keder damalei, it became meaningless to him, and therefore he cannot be trusted. Al mumar, when the Bryce spoke about a mumar, it's talking about mumma lavaris kechavim. He's an Oyvid Avod Zara, and the Bryce is teaching us, Domer of Avin Amish Shmuel, that he taught us, Yisrael Muma Avod Kachavim, even if Yisrael worships Avod Zara, the Loch is Mutalachal Me Shchitasai, we're going to still be allowed to eat from his Shchita. So the Gemara explained that when we spoke about an Oral, we're speaking about somebody who's a Muma Larelis. What does Muma Larelis mean? That Rashi explains that he shows disrespect and disregard to this mitzvah, and therefore, since he disregards this mitzvah, that's what makes him into a mumah larelis. Kesa Mishnah says that can't be. If somebody is lahachis, shows such disrespect and doesn't do a bris out of that attitude, we would never be allowed to eat from a shechita. And therefore, Kesa Mishnah and Tosfos explain that this is a person that's not so terrible. What it means is this person doesn't consider the mitzvah meal so important, and he's scared to do a mitzvah, he's scared to do the bris. So that makes him into mumar larelis, and therefore the halacha is that we could allow him to do shechita. But if he didn't do a bris because of total disrespect to the mitzvah, then that person cannot be accepted for any mitzvah. The question will be, if somebody is a... So now, whatever interpretation will follow. But the Gemara said, a mumah for one aveira could still be a shechit. The question is, a machlokes rishonim. Some Rishonim are of the opinion that once we're learning here that we could trust the Shechita, the Loch will tell us that we don't even have to, as we discussed at the beginning of our shir, we wouldn't even have to pre-check his knife. The Rambam seems to say that even though we're being lenient and accepting his Shechita, we would still have to check his knife. The Gemara said that Kivin the Doshbei, since this person has disrespected the mitzvah, keder damalei, because Rashi explains, because the whole basis of our Gemara is that if you could do it beheter, why should you do it beisser? But that falls away by a person that did a mitzvah that shows total disregard. And Rishash applies here a Gemara that we mentioned earlier, and that is that such an individual, he says, is in the category of what the Gemara Masechet Kedushin talks about. The Kivin Shava Adam Aveira Vishanaba, somebody does an Aveira and repeats it, Nas is like a heter. By him, that Aveira completely falls away, and therefore we can't have any respect for that person. So the Gemara is teaching us that we're speaking about a mumal avarik chavim, and the Gemara is saying that we're allowed to eat his shechita. So Tysus asks that the Gemara Masechta Harius teaches us that a mumal avarik zara dinai come in. He has a halacha of a apikiris. And we're going to learn later in our Masechta on Daf Yud Gimel, shechitas min is also we're not allowed to eat the shechita from a min. So how could the Gemara, as Taisa suggests, that a mum lavaris kachavim muta loichel shechitasai? Says, so some Rishonim say that there are different levels. And they explain as follows. Why is there a locha that the shechita of a min may not be eaten? Because we have to assume that he's shechting for the avodah zarah. But here, if we know that the person is not a person who's so connected to the avodah zarah, so to make a concern that we think that he's shechting for the avodah zarah is not correct. Taisus Rosh says that there's a difference between a min and a mumer. He says that if we saw the person worship the avodah zarah three times, that puts him into the category of a min. And indeed, once he's in the category of a min, the halacha does not allow us to eat from a shechita. But if we saw him worshiping avodah zarah only once or twice, then we don't have to be concerned. We don't put him into the category of avodah zarah. And of course, knowing if somebody is a min or a mumer has a lot of very serious halachic ramifications. One is, we know that if a min touches wine, the wine becomes usur. Why will be the halacha by a mumer? And really the question is a very difficult question, because why did Chazal say they were not allowed to drink stam yenam? Why is there a halacha that we're not allowed to drink wine of a non-Jew? Chazal made that rule because Chazal were concerned because of chasness that we shouldn't be able come to marry them. But a mumer is a person that is Jewish, so there's no isser chasness with them. But it seems that it is the opinion of the Paiskim that somebody who's not a Shem Shabbos, it's not the opinion, it's the accepted opinion, somebody who's not a Shem Shabbos has to be treated as far as Stam Yenam, and has to be treated we have to take a strict approach as far as Stam Yenam, and similarly we have to take a strict approach when we speak about such an individual regarding Bishul Akum as well. It says the Gemara Gufa, so going into this Gemara, Amar of Anan Amar Shmuel, Yisrael Mumel Averetz Kachavim. If unfortunately we have Yisrael who's a Mumel Averetz Kachavim, Mutal Lachem Shechitasai, Shekeim Betzinu B'Yishafet Melech Yehuda. We find by Yishafet the Melech Yehuda, Shenana Mesudas Achav, he ate from the meal that Achav prepared. Shenama, the Pasuk says, V'yizbach Lai Achav Tzoyin Ubok L'Roiv, U'la'ama She'imai, he prepared all this meat, V'yisisiu L'Alas Aramas Gilad. Achav served Yishafet all this meat. Acha, we know, was an Avod Zara, and we see Yishafet, who was a tzaddik, ate from that meat. This is a story in Divrei Yomim that Yishafet Melech Yehuda became the Melech in Yehuda after his father Asa was Nifter. And the Pasuk says regarding Yishafet, V'hi Hashem im Yishafet, Hashem was what Yehoshaphat, ki holof mitzvasav, he followed all the mitzvahs, v'hi lo oshiv kovod l'roiv, and he was very wealthy, and v'yigba loy b'dake Hashem, he followed the ways of Hashem, oid heses b'amas v'sa ishim, mi'yehuda, he removed avodah zarah, and he vishalach asarav in Malavim v'savim b'chol ari Yehuda v'imam sefer Torah v'ilim d'sa'am. He taught Klal Yisrael Torah. The pasuk continues to say v'yib hachad Hashem akom amalachos. All of the neighboring nations were scared. V'lay nilchmu in Yeshafet. They didn't do battle with Yeshafet. On the contrary, they used to bring him tribute. The pasuk continues to say that Yehoram, Yeshafet's son, married Bas Achav's daughter for a wife. And the pasuk says that Yehoshaphat came to meet Achav as mechutin. And the pasuk says that Yehoshaphat said to Achav, "Kamani kamaycha kaami kaam kaami vamcha." We'll go to war together. And the pasuk, when it describes Achav, just on the contrary, the pasuk says some terrible things about Achav. The pasuk says, "V'yas Achav ben Omri." Pasuk in Malach Rabbe Ine Hashem Kechol Asher Lefonov, and he was a tremendous Oyved Avodah Zarah, and his wife Izevel was also a person who was very bad, worshipped Avodah Zarah, etc. And yet we see here that he ate from the meat that Achav prepared, even though he was a tzaddik. The Duma asked the Gemara, maybe what happened here was the Mizbech Zavach, that Achav prepared the meat. However, even though Achav prepared the meat, Mechel Loyachol, Yeshafet didn't eat that meat. Says the Gemara Viseyuksev. The pasuk used the word Viseyu, and Viseyu means that they were connected. Presumably, what does that mean? That they ate together. V'dilma b'dvarim, says the Gemara, Ein Asasa. Being connected is through eating. When a person eats together with somebody else, that makes a connection. Says the Gemara, Veloy is hasasa only with eating, without words. The pasuk speaks about a case of emesis. The Torah Kedosha says, Ki yisischa echa achicha, if your brother convinced you to worship Avodah Zarah, lema nelch v'navdal him acherim. Says the Gemara, then indeed, Hasasa and the Torah is with Achila v'shteya. But as the pasuk says, by Eiv, you can't, there was Hasasa that he should do an Aveira. And we can't say that that meant we're eating. There's no eating when we speak about Hashem. Says the Gemara, l'malashani. Certainly when it's speaking about a Ruchnius Hashem, there it's not we're eating. But when we're speaking Hasasa amongst people, there is eating involved. Asked Rav Dilma Mishti Ishti, maybe Yeshafet only drank from Achav's wine. Mechel Ayachal, he didn't eat. Says the Gemara, Mashna Shnia. Why would we say that he's allowed to drink from Achav's wine? We just discussed the wine of a mumer. Damina mumel averes kachavim lavim mumel chalatayra kula. So if that's the case, Achila nami mumel averes kachavim lavim mumel chalatayra kula. Says the Mahasi Hashta, you can't compare the case of drinking wine to eating the meat. Shtia stam yainamhu. The wine of a non-religious Jew is osam adrabonim. Adayin, and moreover, says the Gemara, loynesa stam yainam shalev dekachavim. Wine that wasn't used for avodah zarah, midaraisa, the wine that's osur, is wine that was used for avodah zarah. Wine which is stam, the wine of a nochri, is not usur. And therefore, there was no problem at that time for your shofet to drink that wine. Aval chila. But now when it comes to shchita, emalach mumel avetz kachav mumel chalatayr kula. And therefore, we wouldn't be allowed to eat that meat. And I saw the Sefer Avi Nachal explains. The Gemara, the Masechet Makos Daf Chof Dalet Amud Aleph teaches us Anochi v'lo yilecha, the first two of the Aseres HaDibros which speak about Avodah Zarah, Mepi HaGvarim Shmanim. We heard them directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did at that time is because it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu that taught us these mitzvahs, what that meant was they were so ingrained in Klal Yisrael for all future generation, that a Jew cannot bring himself to worship an Avodah Zarah. And if you do find a Jew worshiping Avodah Zarah, he explains that that shows that he's really not part of the Jewish people anymore. And that's why we should not be allowed to use a shechita. Answers the Gemara, Ibais Ema, Lava Arach, the Malka Mishnah B'lei Michla. It doesn't seem to make sense that the king just drank, then eat. Ibais Ema, V'yizbach, Loi Achav, Tzoyin Ubak, L'roi, V'l'ama, She'imai. V'yisi, Soyu, K'siv, says the Gemara, it says that he did Hasoso, and B'mas, Sisa, and the Pasuk is describing how was that done, says the Gemara, B'zvicha. But ask the Gemara, Avadya was the person who was the administrator of Achav's home, and he was a tzaddik. And therefore, maybe it was Avadya who did the shechita, and that's why Yehoshaphat was allowed to eat that meat. Answers the Gemara, L'roiv k'siv. It says that they shechted a lot of meat. Avadya loy have a mapik. Avadya could not have possibly shechted that much meat. As of Dimash Shivas Alofim, the 7,000 people that were in Achav's home, that were in Achav's time, that were tzaddikim, Savuach, Tiksiv, as the Pasuk says, Vishati Yisrael, Shivas Alofim, even in the time of Achav, there were 7,000 people left over, Kol HaBekai Mishalai Koro Labal, says the Gemara, those people could not have possibly been the Shochtim, because Mitri HaMen Mitri Mizevel, they were hiding from Mizevel, and they wouldn't come out. And therefore, they weren't the individuals who came out to do the shechita. It must be that, as we're learning, at least at this point, that even though he was a mumer l'avodah zarah, a mumer l'avodah zarah, Rav Anan teaches us, was still maybe allowed to eat the meat that he shechted.